Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. Hartley, good to see you. It's just us this time. It's not like last time where I had three or four cameras pointed at me. I walked in. It felt, honestly, it was awesome. There was like water filled up next to me. They had like everything set up and they were like, okay, ready? Let's go. And they did the like little thing, you know, like they do at movies and the little times. What is that called? I should know what that's called. Yeah, there you go. I can't believe I forgot what that was called. I was so like, wow, this is sweet. I don't have to do any work for this at all. And then they gave me my hard drive back and they're like, all right, the podcast is already edited. There you go. I'm like, what? And then I said, I'm very sad.
You get that every week.
Right. That's what I said. I was like, I'm very sad that I have to go back to normal. Not that it's just, I like that it's just me and you. This is much more my style, but I'm sad that like I have to go back to editing it and like there's nobody else here to just me and one camera. But hey, it's good to see you.
We can tell that it's made with love though. You know, it's not the same thing. It doesn't have the personal touch.
It was cool though. It was cool. If anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about, last week we did our episode from WWDC at Apple's podcast studios, which are located inside of the fitness center. I don't know if that's like an always thing. Yeah, like the fitness center was sweet. It's like the same, I believe it's the same studios that they use for when they shoot videos about like, you know, Fitness Plus. Or is that what they call it? Yeah, Fitness Plus. And they do all of the workout like stuff when they're talking about Apple Watch and things like that. And if it's not, it looks exactly the same. But I guess the design language is probably sprinkled throughout the entire campus. But it looked really cool. But yeah, it's like downstairs and like the bottom part of the fitness center. I'm like, there's just a podcast studio here and like people are shooting hoops across the like hall. Like weird. So yeah, that was an incredible experience. Today we're gonna do an episode all about Vision Pro. We won't go too long. I know people might be Vision Pro'd out by now because there's just a lot of coverage on it, but I do want to have a conversation with Hartley, you know, just kind of one-on-one. And also, this is the time now that I had a chance to actually experience it. If you haven't seen the video, it's basically just me sitting in a hotel room for 20 minutes talking about it. But weirdly, one of the best videos I've ever done in terms of comments. People, like, really liked that. And it was probably the, like, least amount of effort I've ever exerted into a video in terms of, like, production. And I just set up a camera in my hotel room and I just talked about it. And it has, like, a crazy high retention rate for people just wanted to know about it. Maybe I should do that more often. But before we dive into everything, Hartley, you were at the grand opening of one of the coolest looking Apple stores I've ever seen. It's the Battersea one, right? Want to talk about your experience?
Yeah, so this is a new Apple store in the redeveloped Battersea Power Station, which is an old coal-fired power station in Southwest London. And it's the whole area has been completely redeveloped. It's got a new underground station. It's got a cinema there. It's got loads of restaurants and shops. And this is all brand new. But this is also a pretty significant location because Apple has taken over 40% of this whole building. It's one of the biggest red brick buildings in the world. And they've got enough office space there for 3,000 people. And they are using that as their new UK headquarters.
Oh, cool.
And it's you can see the entrance to the Apple side of the building as well. And they've even got like an Apple designed elevator there. And it's
I didn't know that it was not just an stuff. Apple store. It's also like Apple corporate offices too for the UK.
So the store accompanies that because previously Apple's office space in the UK has just sort of rented out and been scattered across. But now this is a dedicated building. But it's because this building is so sort of culturally significant in the UK as well. It's a any British person really recognizes this building. It's part of the London skyline. And of course, Apple has done that thing that they do with newer stores where they take the existing architecture and they sort of adapt it. So they've kept everything as it was in this 1930s coal-fired power station, but it's also an Apple store. and Apple's headquarters. So it's got the boiler room and the turbine room, but everything has got the sort of leather and glass aesthetic of Apple. So
it looked really nice. Is that a new design now too? Is that like one of the first?
So it's the second one in the world. The first one was Tyson's Corner, which was the actual first Apple store that ever opened. It recently got a revamp, and it's this new design with oak panels on all of the walls, and it's modular. So Apple can just sort of slide these panels out and put new ones in over time. And also they brought back the Genius Bar as well, which was something that was missing for a long time. And there's sort of newly designed seating with all that. There's new lower tables as well, which are more accessible. Everything has been completely rethought. They even made more space to walk around, which in a lot of Apple stores is definitely very welcome. And they've even got better soundproofing. They've really sort of re-engineered the whole concept of how these stores work. And yeah, this is the second one after Tyson's Corner.
So these are the flagship stores, right? I didn't know anything about the stores. I've kind of just ignored any and all. No offense to your articles. They're probably amazing. But like, I don't know, just limited time. Apple stores kind of on the lower part of the list, even though I love visiting them. I didn't realize there's like different like flagship tiers, right? Is that what I gathered from your guys' stuff? So like, this is flagship one, correct? Like top of the line store?
I'm not sure. It's not the UK's flagship store, which is in Regent Street, which is a much bigger store. This store is got quite a low ceiling. It's kind of very low and flat and wide because it's tucked in one of the layers of this power station. But the main UK store is properly in central London, and a very different sort of building. So
the Apple store near me needs
store for the UK.
The Apple store. What's the tier where it's like in a shopping center? It's not in a mall, but it's like, it's its own building, but it's like in a plaza with other things.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's most Apple stores, right?
Okay, so I'm like, we're like bottom tier. You know, our staff and our
designs that are sort of trickled through. So you've got the ones that have still kind of got the design from the late 2000s. There's a store very near me with that design. And now we've got the design that most of us are used to, which is what you'll see in most Apple stores. But now there is this all new one, which is... It looks very different because everything is just wood.
I want that look. Oak. Yeah.
And it's very clean, really, really nice. I still kind of wish they would have a proper like cashier though, because I do find it one of the sticking points about Apple stores is when it's busy, you know, it's a lottery to get anyone's attention.
But you could do the thing on your phone.
Yeah, but it's not, I like sometimes I just want to go to like a desk and just check out normal. And I don't know, maybe I'm just a bit old school with that, but I wish that was an option, at least in Apple stores.
I can't remember the time I've ever like walked in not knowing, not already purchasing something. Usually when I go to the store, I have already purchased it. I'm just picking it up. So I guess I've never really like found myself looking for somebody to like check me out. But yeah, that would be kind of hard to do. Shout out Apple Store Eaton Center. It is it's the one that I go to. It needs to be redesigned, but great people. All the Apple stores are cool. So that's awesome. I'm glad that you got to go and like check out and be amongst the first people there. Speaking of being amongst some of the first people, didn't realize that there was a very limited amount of people that got to try out the headset. And so very grateful to be able to try it out. And I know Andrew on the last episode gave you his thoughts, but now I can kind of give you my personal thoughts if you're at all interested. Do you have any questions more about it? Also, did we last week was such a blur for me, and I barely remember talking to anyone during that episode. It was just there were so many things going on, so many lights and people. I was so easily distracted, and like I feel like we barely talk. So like, what are your thoughts now that you've had a week to like stew on Vision Pro? Like, are you into it? Are you curious? Same thoughts? How are you feeling?
Well, I've been kind of all over the place with Vision Pro. I initially was sort of skeptical. Then I really liked the concept. And then I was thinking, well, maybe I'll buy it. And then I kind of thought, no, this is too much money. I need to wait for a second generation. So I've been all over the place with it. But now I think I am pretty convinced that this is the...
Is that you or me?
Yeah, it's a plane going overhead.
That's fine. There's construction, but nah, we'll keep it in, guys. This is what happens when we record in a non Apple professional studio.
A mini heat wave here, so you know, have to have the windows
open. There's like literal construction on this door behind this wall behind me. Is the bathrooms to a new restaurant that is being put in? So I apologize if anybody.
We need more Dan outtakes. You know, you posted a couple.
Yeah,
they're great. We need more.
So defeated when that happens. I'm just trying to say words and you just hear like hammering and saws and I'm like, all right.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
All right. Anyway, sorry. Keep going.
Yeah. So I've been kind of all over the place with what I think about it. But now I think that this really is the beginning of a new platform that has quite a significant place. But I don't think it's remotely on the level of replacing the iPhone or the Mac anytime soon. But what I will say is I do think it's going to replace the iPad. I think that is the kind of level that this device comes in at where it's for consumption. You can do work on it, but do you really want to all the time? Maybe not. So I think in a lot of ways, comparable to where the iPad is. That's so, you know, insofar as the iPad is something you buy in addition to your Mac, in addition to your iPhone, I think that's where we are looking at Vision Pro, at least for the next few years. When eventually it can be AR glasses, when we're talking like when we get to the 10th generation or like the 15th generation, then maybe we can get into it a little more. But for now, an iPad style device, I think.
That's the same idea that I have. That's when I'm okay with it being like your everyday device that you use all the time. When it's something that doesn't look like it, what it looks like now. And that is not an Apple dig. That's for every company out there who's like trying to go in the same direction. This isn't going to be something that everybody wants to wear all the time. And I think Apple knows that. I'm assuming they're obviously pretty smart. So like, when it becomes glasses, then I'll hear out that argument. But yeah, this isn't meant to replace, you know, every device that you have right now. But I agree. I think it could definitely replace the iPad. I kind of feel like it can replace the Mac for some people too, honestly. Now, we didn't get a whole lot of testing when it comes to doing like productivity and things. I did get to like mess around with some applications, but I kind of wish they would have dwelled on that a little bit more. But limited time, and they had way more cooler things. Like, here's me like, hey, can we open up like four more applications and like put them side by side? We'll get to the dinosaur thing in a second. Can we show like how does working how do we do work on this thing? Is what they were probably like. What a nerd! This guy just wants to work the whole time. I was more curious about how Final Cut would work on there because I know that's some of the rumored, you know, like how does Pro applicate? But I'm guessing Apple wants to save all that for when they have a bunch of other third-party apps as well. And that's going to be the biggest driving point behind this.
And they probably want it to be a little bit more than just Final Cut for iPad. They probably want to have some specific gestures and interesting optimizations that really take advantage because as great as it is that you can just run pretty much all iPad apps on the headset. It's a little bit of a wasted opportunity if some developers don't go further than that and try and take advantage of the platform. So I'm really happy that I can get my favorite third-party apps, but I think that it's worth leaving it a little longer and seeing how these things behave in a 3D environment.
Do you want to run through my experience?
Yes.
Okay. So the first thing, everybody asks me about lenses and you know, how people with contacts. I don't know how to answer that. I mean, we know that Apple is making Zeiss lenses or is working with Zeiss for prescription lenses. I don't know how that process. I tried to get information about it, and it kind of felt like that stuff's still kind of up in the air. But like when I walked in and I was greeted and like, all right, like we need to come over here and take you to do an eye test, like a vision test. It actually was just a few questions like, do you wear glasses? No. Do you wear contacts? No. Do you have any problems seeing? No. So I was kind of easy. And they were like, okay, you can leave. But they had like the full on test for your, like a machine there to like exam. So if I think if any of my answers were yes, then I was going to have to do like a proper test. And they were going to get my prescription for my lenses right then and there and try to find, I'm guessing they were going to try to find something close that they already have. My thought is they probably didn't have all the lenses that they could have there. So people ask me how that's going to work. Is it going to be expensive? I can't imagine Zeiss lenses would be cheap. Maybe they will, and hopefully Apple will include some kind of discount or maybe include them in the price in general, but that's a tall order. So
that's not going to happen.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that's kind of, that stinks to like, you know, people who have to wear glasses have to pay more.
So like $4,000, because if you buy the strap to go overhead as well, and some of these other accessories that we know are going to come with it, like the USB-C adapter as well. And then obviously, if you want a pair of Zeiss lenses, which are going to be maybe $300, you're going to be looking at $4,000 for this.
I didn't realize. So wait, are you saying that the top headband is not included? I know they said optional Okay.
We don't know, but I am assuming that all of these things are extra because they always are.
I hope, and I'm going to be optimistic that that headband portion is at least going to be included, because for my experience and in terms of comfort and fit, it was very crucial to have that top headband.
So you had it on?
Yes. It was very important.
Did you try it without?
No. I don't know that that wasn't even an option for me to try it without. I feel like I've spoken to other people who said that they didn't have it. So I don't know, but that was already there for me. And it was very important. And I will get into the comfort part in a second, but just quickly. So, you know, what's going to happen? And I still don't know how this checkout, maybe you might know, Hartley. So when you do the fit test, that like basically is like Face ID, scanning your face on your phone. And then you do like a, you know, you put, kind of like when you have AirPods in, you're doing the spatial audio test, like you do that whole thing. Those are the two tests that I did with the phone. And then that told Apple like what inserts and things that would fit me, what's the appropriate size. Now, again, I do want to stress, pre-production, they don't have all of the size inserts for everyone. They were very limited. So they had to find something that would be close. I did not ask because there was just so much going on. And I don't know if they would even answer this, but I did not get any confirmation on whether what I had was appropriate for my fit or not. But judging how it did fit for me, I'm going to guess no. It was very comfortable, but the problem was when I put it on, I really needed to tighten that top head strap because it kind of just wanted to sink down a little bit. And that led to some of the things that I saw not being super crisp. When I moved it up and like got it in the right spot, it looked amazing. Way better than any other headset that I've ever tried. Very crisp, very sharp. But when it started to sink down a little bit, they kept asking me, like, is your fit okay? Like, I see you're messing around with it. And I'm like, no, it's not really that great right now because of the way, like, I just think that it just needed to sit up a little bit more. And I've got a weird shaped head, so I'm just going to say it's my fault. And I really needed to tighten that top strap. And also, you just kind of like, you're in like a room with two other people and you're trying to like get through the stuff. Like you're not trying to mess around and fiddle around. Like if I was in my own house, I would get it to fit myself better. But so yeah, I mean, once I got it, like after like halfway through the demo, I did get it in a good spot. And then it was really fine. But you know, it takes a little bit of time to get that right perfect fit for you. One of your questions that I see you have written here, is it possible to wear the headset for extended periods? I only wore it for 30 to 40 minutes, but I wasn't bothered in that 30 to 40 minutes. I've worn a MetaQuest for 20 to 30 minutes, and not only did I start to feel kind of ill, but like just the feet, like you take that thing off and it feels like you've been like suffocating your eyes. Now you do
get
that
breathable. So were the materials for the headband and the light seal breathable?
I mean, it's still something suctioning over your face. So at the end of the day, it's not like as comfortable as glasses or anything like that, but it's far more breathable and more comfortable than like 99.9% of the headsets that I've used. So, you know, I don't know about some of the other ones out there that are a little more advanced that might be more in line with what Apple's doing here, but it's not nearly as bad as any other ones. It's very, you know, it's the same fabric and like materials as like your Apple Watch and your Apple, like your AirPods Max. So yeah, I mean, it was pretty comfortable. I just can't get over how good like everything was for software. That's, and also I, before we get into software, the hardware is obviously incredibly well made, and I understand now why the battery cannot be anywhere near the headset itself. It's so heavy already in terms of like the materials that you have. It doesn't feel that heavy on my face, but it would be incredibly heavy if they put a battery pack in there.
When you first picked it up, and you had it in your hands, were you surprised at its weight? Did it feel like a big weighty object?
I don't know if this was by design or if this was like just because I was trying to get it on right away, but like you barely touch it. You like, they put it in your hands and they like give you very specific directions on how to put it on, which is not naturally how I would do it. I would like grab it with one hand, grab the other, and like, but they said to like grab from the bottom, take like the thing, like it, they had a very weird way of putting it on you. So, and it was super quick when I put it on. So I didn't really register any like one way or another of like, oh, this is light, or oh, this is really heavy. But when you put it on your face, you can feel like the nice materials and everything. Like when you're adjusting some of it, and like, you know, the digital crown's on your right, the button for the camera stuff's on your left. And like I was reaching around for that because it was kind of hard for me to locate at first where that button was. And you don't really need to press it a whole lot, but to recenter the screen and everything, that's the digital crown. You do need to press that in. But yeah, you could just feel the cool like metal aluminum. What is it made out of exactly? I don't want to get that. It's metal, right?
I believe it. Yeah, well, it's the same, I assume, anodized aluminum used on everything else, and then the front is glass.
Yeah, that's what I was. Yeah, I never touched the front either, which I don't know if it was by design or. And that's the other thing. Obviously, most people know that we didn't get to see the front of it really at all. Like, well, I didn't get to see what I looked like with it. I'm guessing the little pass through eye thing that everybody's weirded out by. I don't know if that was on.
I assume it's unfinished because the one piece of video we have of someone actually wearing it.
Oh, Good Morning America.
Only one person. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not enabled. So that would, and also we haven't seen any executives wearing it, you know, as a demo then and there. So it would suggest that that feature is unfinished.
Are you getting hung up on that whole thing like everybody else is online right now? Or are you just kind of like, it is what it is? Because there are so many people that think it's a negative that Tim Cook's not seen wearing it, but he's never wearing or using most products besides an Apple Watch and AirPods.
I don't know. I don't know if it's a negative. I think it's clever because I think it would look kind of dorky if the executives were just wearing it.
And it's because Mark Zuckerberg got memed to hell, right? Is that why?
Yeah, and it's kind of. I think it's better to just say this is such a, you know, a high end product, and this is for people that want to use spatial computing. They don't need to say, you want to be like us.
Yeah.
It's like the Apple Watch is a device for everyone. So they can wear that and it doesn't really affect anything. But this device is a device that looks odd anyway. So if you put that ultimately on like a group of white men of a certain age, it's going to look like it's a bit weirder than it actually is.
I don't think it's a negative. Glasses, VR goggles, AR goggles, headsets, they all look ridiculous on people, okay? Like, yeah. It's not some kind of taboo. I don't know why. I'm not afraid to say it. And Apple's is going to look ridiculous on you, too, until it becomes the norm and we're all used to it. But it's still, like, you don't see people outside walking around with headsets on. And when you do, you definitely notice it. And your eyes naturally get drawn to it. And you might have a thought of, like, why is this person out in, you know, in the wild wearing one of these? Like, it's just not normal right now, and that's okay. Like, it is what it is. It doesn't mean the product is bad or everything's bad, but yeah, I don't think that they need to be wearing it. When have you seen, you know, images of him out in the wild wearing AirPods Max? Like, I've not seen those. How often do you see him like working with a MacBook? Like, they're not wearing all these products all the time.
I get it in the sense that it's a wearable product. So yeah. you would think that he would want to, and the executives as a whole would want to champion the device,
sure,
and show how confident they are using
it. But he doesn't need to.
It's not No, and it's not like that he doesn't have confidence in it, Tim Cook. It's that he doesn't want to become the image of the person wearing it. He wants the images to be of those very well-coordinated PR images where they've tucked the battery pack out of sight, and it's very well proportioned and balanced. And of course, the eyesight feature actually works as well.
You think Steve Jobs would have put it on?
Probably. I mean, we're talking about a whole different world. I mean, imagine if Apple was still doing proper on-stage in-person.
I know. That's the other thing. Maybe I would have been like, oh, it's a little strange that they didn't have anyone wearing it on stage with them when they were showing it off.
Right.
That would have been a little weird. Like, even if it wasn't the executives, but like a person wearing it as a demo. And, you know, Craig is going through like his normal, I don't know who would be going through it, but like, yeah, that would be strange, but it's not. It's a video, and they have people that are like professional models and actors and people doing these commercials and promos for them. So like, it makes sense to let them do their job. So anyways, let's get into the main portion here, and that's the overall experience, which I still stand by. It was incredible. It was mind-blowing. I had no thoughts afterwards. They kept asking me if I was okay, which was like, I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just trying to figure out what in the world I just went through, because it was unlike anything I've ever went through. And I've used, you know, I'm not a big AR VR fan. A lot of people think that's like a negative and makes it feel like I can't talk about it. But I feel like there's a place for people who are super into that and test them all the time. And there's a place for people who are just normal people when it comes to these types of products who have limited experience. Doesn't mean we don't know what we're talking about, but you know, it's not my world. It's not something I spend a lot of time in. So
if anything, that's a more interesting perspective, because this is a bit of a new vision.
Exactly.
I mean, that's why they are not calling it augmented reality or virtual reality. There's a reason why they're calling
spatial
it
spatial computing, which is interesting.
Because they're trying to draw a line in the sand and they're trying to present something different. And also, ultimately, they want, when the standard Apple Vision headset does come out, which will be maybe around 2025, and that could be at a lower price point. I don't know what that would be. There's no rumors about it. Maybe $1,500, something in that ballpark would seem plausible. When that happens, they will be appealing to a lot more sort of ordinary consumers, people that have a little bit of disposable cash and are interested. And that is a lot of people. That's basically an iPad Pro customer.
Yeah. We'll talk about the price in a minute. I know that people get hung up on it. But in terms of the experience, though, like I said, it was pretty incredible. I'll call out some of the things that I think are the most notable. I understand why they started off with like photos, because they wanted to make it like a personal thing. Looking at your photos in that big of a screen was pretty cool, but like it didn't really hit until you did the panorama test, like being able to dial in the immersiveness with the digital crown and like see a panoramic like shot that you took. I mean, I didn't take this one, but like I'm envisioning ones that I take, like it really does put you back into the, like, that whole, I felt like I was the one standing at, I don't even know where the location was, but it was some cool mountain area. And it looked amazing. And it felt like I was there. And that actually makes me want to take more like panoramic photos. Like I never take them. When have you ever taken them? Besides, maybe you might, I don't have cool things to look at over here. And it's not my first thought of like, oh, I want to capture this whole landscape. I need to take a I take a video and then I move on.
I literally don't think I've taken one since 2012 when they introduced the feature.
Right. Exactly. I think I've taken one. I've taken a few on accident. You know how I accidentally toggle my camera all the time? Swipe over to panoramas and I'm like, how is this possible? Those are the only times I've ever done that. So it would make me absolutely want to take more photos like that. But the photos and the videos that are taken from the headset were the ones that the 3D, I mean, it was wild. I know I dwelled on the whole birthday party thing, but it's just like, it legitimately felt like I was there. It is a little creepy when it's not your family. It is a little strange. But like, I can understand where they're going with this and why it would make you. But at the same time, I understand people's concerns of being like, this is going to feel strange. Like, someone has to be wearing that headset at the party while others are not. And yeah, I mean, I get it. I get it. So
normalized. And as the device gets smaller and thinner and eventually becomes like glasses, then it will be normal.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I think the main thing is, like, here, they're going to have to insert that capability into your phone, right? Like, if we can figure out a way to get those lenses that can do that type of video in the phone, think about that. You're out in vacation, you're taking videos, you don't have to wear the headset, but then you can go back and watch that type of content on the headset. So I think that's hopefully where they're thinking of taking these types of videos and photos from, because yeah, like, it's cool that you can do it on there. That's going to be the only way that you're going to be able to do that for the time being. But hopefully that transitions more into being like, okay, on your phone, you can take those and then relive the experience, because it does take you out of the experience. Or I don't know. I haven't tested that. But I feel like if I'm at my son's birthday party, and I'm wearing this giant headset on my face, I feel like it's going to take me and others out of the experience more so than having your phone, you know?
But at first, one thing I'm curious about with this demo is how wide was that field of view of that 3D experience? Is it just like a windowed image that looks 3D, or was it quite a large image that you feel a little bit more immersed in?
So it is a like windowed, so at least the birthday party one, they are like tiles. But I feel like when I did the campfire one, that one for some reason felt far more immersive. I don't know if I'm just misremembering it. Again, it's just my mouth was open the whole time, and I was definitely like mouth breathing as I was I wish they would take a picture of you so that you could see like how ridiculous you look, because you're not being cool and like relaxed in the moment. You're just like looking around, and so yeah, I felt a little dorky, but like it was hard to recall some of these things. But I do remember one of them being windowed, and like it was a smaller window, but when that thing's on your face, small is actually pretty large in comparison to what you're normally used to. So I do think that they were both kind of in that window, but you still feel so immersed because it's like it's 3D, and it's just like, I don't know, they blew the smoke, and I've talked about this before, like I kind of like did this because I felt like everything was like blowing at me, and like the campfire, I just felt like I was in a chair sitting around with these people like chilling at a campsite. It was really cool. So hopefully it becomes more so like something that we create the content on our phones in a much more discreet device that we can go back and watch and relive. And that would be rather incredible. Thinking of like family members that are not going to be able to be in like the area that you're in, like maybe your parents live across the country, across the world, you can have them be at the birthday party. Imagine if FaceTime becomes something like that, and they could be wearing the headset because they're at their house and they're by themselves, and they can enjoy it, like feel like they're actually there. Meanwhile, you have a phone propped up, and like, I don't know, I just think that there's a future there for that for sure. And there's also a future there for consuming content that Apple is already beginning to make TV Plus shows with, you know, the headset in mind. And I'm excited to see where that's at, because that was really, really cool.
So what was the best experience? Because you took in this demo, you were taken through several sort of distinct experiences. What would you say the single most breathtaking one was?
I think the photos that we just talked about, there's a couple. They're all kind of like tied together for me. And a lot of it is consuming content. I didn't get a chance to like fully mess around with, although I will say, okay, let's go with FaceTime. This is more of the productivity aspect, okay? So because consuming content and like being in these AR, VR type experiences are always going to be cool because it's something you don't do all too often. But like a FaceTime call isn't that cool. When you're doing it with the headset, it kind of is. The 3D render was a little strange at first, and it was mostly strange for me for different reasons. I've explained this because I didn't think that the call was like a real person. I didn't realize I thought it was like a demoed phone call that they recorded and that he like activated on his iPad that he had. Like, no, they had these things dialed down to like the exact minute of when he spoke that she happened to be calling me right when he said, okay, you're going to get a phone call here. Like, I didn't realize they were doing all this behind the scenes and like had things pretty well oiled. And so the phone call came in and she's like, hi, I'm, you know, a 3D render of this is going up, but like, how's it going? I didn't realize that she was actually talking to me. I thought it was like, okay, this is part of the demo. And she's like, are you going to talk to me? And I was like, oh yeah, sorry. Like, I didn't mean to ignore you. I didn't realize you were real. You get over, like, the 3D render kind of feels a little unnatural at first, but I thought it was fine, honestly. It felt pretty, like, you could see hands too, which is cool. I didn't, like, think that I wasn't having a real conversation after about 30 seconds. And they made me move her window off to the side, and we brought in Freeform. And I could totally see how people could collaborate in this way. Have a phone call, move her off to the side, you know, you can look over and chat with them for a little bit. And then she's, like, pulling things out and making things larger. 3D models in Freeform. Like, I've never used Freeform for anything besides when I demoed it. This became far more, like, workable and usable and something that I would want to use. Like, the 3D model of, like, this house that I saw was really, really cool. You can pull things out. You can add, you know, it was a great, like, working canvas. I could see that being, like, a future for people doing, you know, collaborative meetings and stuff. So that was there. And then Apple didn't really stress this a whole lot, but the content that they made, I don't know what the name's for it, but the immersive, like, video and content that they're capturing, some of the sporting events that they quickly highlighted, and I'm a big sports fan, so, like, those are seats and experiences that you will have to pay way more than $3,500 for, and some of it just aren't even possible. You can't sit above a soccer net and, like, during a soccer game and be able to experience and then, like, turn your camera and move quickly, and, like, so that's really, really cool, and that's where there's a future involved for that as well. That's where I wanted to see more of. And unfortunately, it was only just 10 to 15 seconds, but it was cool. Left me wanting more.
So with input with a device, what did you try in terms of gestures? Did you get to try the keyboard at all?
No. And I don't know if some people did, but I did not. And so that's where I would like to have spent more time. But it looks like it's going to be fairly, you know, easy, intuitive. The whole experience was intuitive. You literally figure it out in about 5 seconds. They explain to you, and if you've ever used any technology in the last 5 years, you should be fine. It's literally just pinch. You look at it. The eye tracking is so good right off the bat, and obviously there's going to be improvement between now and early 2024. I'm hoping there's going to be improvement, but I don't know that it really needs it. There was never a time where it didn't know what I was looking at. Which is insane. And it knew exactly what I was looking at. I just do this. I kept doing, like, my hands were up this high, but they're like, you don't need to do this, but it's just natural for you at first. But I did test it. Like, my hand was over here, off to the left, in my lap was where I eventually put it. And it registered just fine. I had, like, one hiccup where it didn't, like, it accidentally processed a finger tap. But it was pretty easy to, you know, figure out why it happened and, you know, kind of move on from that. But yeah, I did. So this is your select. And then when you want to, like, swipe between things, it's you, like, kind of press and hold and swipe from horizontally. And then to, like, scroll on a web page, you do the same thing vertical, you know. That was really all we did. And I kind of used the bars at the bottom for, like, moving and resizing things. But there was no, like, zoom gestures that we did or anything like that.
Did it feel precise and responsive?
Yeah, it was pretty insane. The scrolling, they wouldn't tell me the specs for the like lenses itself, but they did confirm kind of, or they did allude to it being a variable refresh rate. So I imagine at one point I was hitting 120. It felt like 120 when scrolling on web pages and stuff. It was very smooth and just kind of that normal feeling that we're used to. You know, it's not as crisp and sharp and as a MacBook Pro, but, like, it did feel like that. And it just felt like a really good display. So, and just, like, the tracking and the input was spot on the whole time. I never really had any problems with it ever. So pretty wild for pre-production software and hardware.
And you feel that that input was actually precise enough that you could do work, you could be productive.
I don't know how you're going to want to. I think if you're doing a lot of typing, no, you're going to want to hook up a lap, like a magic keyboard or something to it.
But say with something like video editing, where you've tried out Final Cut for iPad and you've got that little, what's it called? Like a jog wheel for editing.
Oh, yeah.
Would you feel that that's not a situation where you would necessarily want a keyboard, but could you imagine editing? With these sorts of gestures, was it that accurate?
I mean, I guess I didn't get a chance to, like, do as many gestures enough to, like, test out that accuracy level, because that's pretty fine, like, pinpoint level. but I feel like it probably could. Like, I don't know how it would work, just guessing, but based off of what I did do, it was so accurate in what I was looking at. But again, it's like your Apple TV kind of style, your iPad style, that when you like hover a mouse or the track, you know, how it like kind of illuminates and brings what you're looking at to the front. Those were more like icons, larger things on the screen. It didn't have any problems looking at like the little parts of the stuff that I was trying to, but when you're looking at a timeline and you're looking at a very specific section of a timeline, that I don't know how it's going to behave. I'm guessing it will, but I don't know. So
yeah, maybe that's why we haven't seen that just yet.
Sure. Maybe my guess is like you'll have to pull the cursor over for the timeline. You know how there's like the little indicator. Yeah. You might, instead of like just looking at it and doing this to cut like a certain point, that would be cool. I don't know how editing is going to work on it, honestly. Like, I'm sure there it'll make sense once you try it, but yeah, that I could see you getting work done. Voice input was something we did not do, but that will be more useful and prevalent, I'm guessing. I don't think you're going to want to type out a lot of long stuff. If you need to type out a password or like a, you know, fill in a couple of things, you'll be fine. But if you're doing like long-term typing, definitely going to want a keyboard. Or maybe just use your voice to dictate what you want.
And how aware were you of the battery pack? Were you really aware that you were tethered to something that was beside you?
No, it wasn't that big of a deal. It only became an issue when I needed to like get up. Then I was like, oh, where's the battery pack? Like, you know, but also my field of view is, you know, kind of the same field of view as your own eyes. So if I don't actually go and look down for it, I'm not going to know where anything is. If I don't actually move my head for it, I don't know why I was expecting to just like stay straight and look and find it. Like that was just me being in awe and dumb. But like, yeah, if you just look down and pick up the battery pack, you'll be fine. Just move with it. I do want to point out that a lot of people have asked about the connection to the headset. It is not magnetic. It is something that goes in and twists and turns and locks. So it's not going to like pull out. You have to actually twist it and unlock it out that way. When you do that, it will not, like the headset will not work. So hot swapping batteries is not going to be something you can do. I don't think. I'm just under the impression. That's an educated guess on my end.
I believe so. I believe that's why it's also not magnetic, because that would necessitate some sort of battery, because otherwise you would, every time you disconnected it, the whole thing would just shut off.
Yeah, there is no...
That's why it has locked in there.
Exactly. There is no... Yeah, that's the reason why it needs to stay like that. There is going to be no hot swap. You're going to need to turn it off real quick, take your, you know, and then put the battery in. But you can also... There's a USB-C port on the battery, which is a pretty hefty battery, by the way. It had a little bit of weight to it. Just want to point that out. But I just had it next to me on the couch. That was most of the demo. When I got up, I was just kind of holding it in my hand, but I guess I could put it in my pocket. Or, you know, we did see a lot of renders and a lot of chatter about like a strap or a bat. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. Maybe that's like an accessory for later down the road, but that was not something that was introduced or spoken of or seen there. So, but you can plug that battery into a wall, you know, via USB-C. So, I mean, you can have unlimited battery if you want to sit there all day, but I think 2 hours is probably a good enough time to be able to just like take it off, take a breather. You know, a lot of people are complaining about, well, movies are more
have it on for more than 2 hours.
Yeah, people. I know people are complaining and saying, well, some movies are over 2 hours. So how am I supposed to do this? Well, if you're watching a movie, then think about this in advance and plug yourself into a wall.
Or just take a little break. I'm sure your eyes would be grateful for a little break if you're watching a 3 hour movie.
You're not at a theater. You can get up. You can take a minute. You're going to have to go to the bathroom. You know, take a break. It's going to be fine. But I laugh at that. People are like, oh, 2 hours. Well, what if your MacBook dies in 2 hours of watching a movie? You know, you don't have a perfect charge. What is your initial and normal instinct? No one complains about this for the most part. You just plug it in and you move on and you go about your day. So, like, I don't see why people are complaining.
It's not the Apple Watch where you actually, you wear it, you're on the go. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing as an iPhone or an Apple Watch battery.
This is definitely not something that's meant to be on the go, or at least Apple isn't positioning it that way. So you can move around, and it was totally fine. The dinosaur, you know, thing that people talk about, that immersive experience, that was pretty cool. Like, you know, all of a sudden this like hole in the wall opens up in front of you, your wall, and like the ground starts shaking and the butterfly comes out. You stick your finger out, the butterfly lands on you. I didn't get that phantom feeling like I did with the smoke, but some people did. Tracking was pretty good. It was a little jittery at first. Like I moved my finger and it kind of jittered. but it eventually caught on and it like was on, and then it flew away. And then a giant non-T-Rex looking, but kind of T-Rex looking dinosaur comes out, and it's like coming up to me and sniffing me, and nothing ever felt weird. I didn't get that weird screen door effect. It was like amazing. It was incredible. And they told me to get up and like go over there, and like I wanted to pet it, but obviously it's not a real dinosaur. So yeah, I mean, that was the first time and only time that I moved with the battery in my hand, and it was not a big deal. So
step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So the big question then is, obviously you will get one because you'll make a video on it.
Yeah.
But if you were not going to make a video on it, would you buy one? Can you see yourself buying one? Or would you tell yourself, I'm interested in this, but maybe the second generation, or maybe when it's a non-pro version?
This sounds terrible. Even if I wasn't doing this for my job, I just don't have that. I never had that personality. When Apple... like, I was already a fan before, but like whenever there's like a new, I get very bad FOMO, and I feel like I need to be amongst some of the first people to do it. Like, I never got an iPhone. Like, I wasn't the first, like in the first camp of iPhones. I was a little young with phones too, but I got serious FOMO because I'm like, man, everybody else is getting this. Like, this looks cool. It's a very bad way to live. I do not recommend, if you are a young, impressionable person out there, it is okay to save your money. Don't feel like you need to get something right away. But no, with my love for technology and my obviously lifestyle, like very poor choice, but I would probably be looking around my house at things to sell in efforts to invest that money into a Vision Pro, because I would feel like I want to be on the ground floor with it. And I don't know why, and I don't think it's necessary, but.
And when you imagine yourself unboxing that device next year and you did your video, you know, it's done and you've got that device, what are you imagining actually doing with it on a daily basis, maybe?
I don't know. I'm hoping it's going to replace the way I watch, like, maybe content. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's like one of those things where, you know, your wife wants to watch something and you don't necessarily want to watch something that she's watching, but you guys want to be in the same room together. How often are you sitting there at home, you know, wife or husband, whoever might be, you might be with, and you just pull out your phone and you start watching a YouTube video or something else on your phone, or you're scrolling through. That could be the new thing. Like, instead of my phone, I'm more immersed in something else. It's not necessarily like we're talking to each other anyways, so I don't feel as rude to be in the same. Obviously, if she wants to watch a movie with me, that's going to be a whole different thing, but I think it's going to be more of like a content, sports would be kind of cool. I want to see more about how sports are, you know, done with this, because that could be a whole, like, it's already a lot better to watch sporting events, you know, in terms of production and quality on your TV, okay? I love going to football games. I go to them all the time. I have, you know, season tickets. The atmosphere is something you can't replicate, but like watching the game is kind of terrible compared to the TV. And this could be even better. You can see so much more, multiple camera angles, be in different parts of the stadium, do different things that you cannot do anywhere else. Like, that's what I want to see. And then, I don't know, I guess I'd try editing and see how, like, getting work done. I hope it doesn't turn into a product that I do my video and then I just never use again. I can't imagine. I'm hoping there's something with it.
Because it will be iterated on so much. I mean, imagine come WWDC next year and we're talking about Vision OS 2. And there will be all of these new features, and it's going to be way more interesting than what's going on, say, with iOS 18 or whatever else is coming out next year, because those are going to be fairly standard updates, where we've got this very this platform that's in its infancy. There's so much that's yet to happen with it. Think back to something like watchOS 2. watchOS 2 was a huge update because they'd had a year with the Apple Watch, and it was time to really sort of get into it on the basis of actually having this device in people's hands.
All right, you've been asking me all the questions, and so now I want to ask you.
Okay.
Are you going to buy one?
It's a tricky question.
Do you have the same problem that I have, where you're going to feel left out?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think it depends what mood I'm in at the moment, whether I say yes or no. But I think that considering that I am already very tempted, it's just a matter of time before I end up spending that money. I mean, the difference for me is where I'm in the UK, it won't be available here initially. So I'm going to be able to hear a lot more about it before I get the opportunity to buy it. And that might swing it for me, because if it doesn't come to the UK for 6 months after people have had it in the US, then I will be able to get a really good sense of what it is like, because there will be so much written about it. There'll be so many videos and screen recordings, and I'll know what third-party apps are available. And if that is not as good as it should be, then I don't need to spend the money. But if I was in the US, I probably would. I'd risk it. I want to be involved.
I don't think there's a risk in terms of, like, are you getting your money's worth from a, like, it's hardware a, and risk, like,
it's a first generation product, and we've all had them, like the first generation Apple Watch, first generation iPad. They do feel incomplete, and you are aware that that device and that hardware is moving fast. You think about how the Apple Watch moved, say, the first to the fourth generation, and it was quite transformative. The same with the iPad. I mean, the first iPad, I believe, didn't even have a rear camera. It was a completely different shaped chassis and didn't have a Retina display. And just through those first few generations, it moved extremely quickly. So imagine where we will be with Vision Pro 2 or Vision Pro 3. And by that point, when we have got a higher display resolution, when we've got a better field of view, we've got higher refresh rates, it will also be lighter and thinner, maybe. Certainly, we are expecting weights to become one of those areas that Apple iterates on based on the initial rumors, because we already have rumors about the second generation headset. We've had them since long before it was actually unveiled. So that's the thing, you know, you're getting into. It's great. You're paying to be an early adopter. And that's why you've kind of got to love it to be on board, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I love what it can do. But do I love this space that Apple is investing in is something that remains to be, you know, seen. I think it's because it's Apple and I use all of their stuff already on a daily basis. And there's no doubt going to be ecosystem integrations and things that are going to make sense for me to use it way more than like a Meta Quest or, you know, PlayStation VR is a good example for really good VR. But like, I don't play games on a regular basis. That's not what I want to do. I want to use it for things that are more than just consume. So there has to be something that can grab me there. And we know very little about it right now in terms of what's going to be featured, but it's up to the developers too, to help carry this product as well. So, I mean, long story short though, it was an incredible first experience for something that is new, still kind of a new space in general, and for a company that makes a new product for the first time in this area, I was very impressed with how good it was. And hopefully everybody else shares that same feeling when they try it.
So looking a bit more long-term here, so we're thinking about Vision OS and how it will be iterated on. We're thinking about how the hardware will improve over time, and Apple's just setting out on this journey. It's really at the very beginning. Can you see this becoming something that everyone would end up using, almost everyone? If we're talking even say 5 years down the line, could you see you recommending this device to members of your family? It's taking over a lot more of daily workflows for a lot of people. Do you think it's there? Can you see it?
Yeah, I mean, I could see it happening. Obviously, the price is going to need to come down a little bit in the future. I don't know how many people are going to spend. It's going to have to be the hardcore type that are going to buy this at $3,500. And Apple knows that. We all know that they know that. But yeah, I mean, we can get something like, even if it's the same price as your iPhone or your, you know, like a MacBook Air, if it's replacing some of those tasks and doing even more like an iPad, you know, an iPad's pretty expensive. So if I tell you that Apple Vision, the next generation, is going to cost $1,500, and you make a remark about it, but here you are owning an iPad Pro, a 1 terabyte iPhone, and a MacBook Pro. That is probably more money, each one of those, obviously, individually, way more money than a $1,500 headset that can do completely different things at times. So, I mean, I think I have faith in this way more than I did before, honestly. I think before I was pretty, you know, months before, and I was mostly just sick of talking about it. And I was like, I'll believe it when I see it. And, you know, I don't really don't use a lot of AR VR headsets. I don't really care too much about that product space. But then I got to actually experience it. And now it's like, I'm looking into other headsets. I want to be more well versed in this so I can see and be able to talk about more of the other, you know, comparisons that people are asking, because it's cool. And there's a place for it for sure.
And it'll be even more interesting to see where the competitors go now, because they know what they're up against.
Yeah. I don't believe Mark Zuckerberg for their own. I don't believe him for a second saying that there's nothing in there that's special. Like, sure, maybe not, but it's you can't even compare this.
Meta should be terrified of Apple's ecosystem advantage.
People out there who are telling me that they can spend $500 on the next Meta Quest 3 or $250 or $299 on the current version and say it'll be just fine, or no thanks, I'll stick with this. No offense, but you have no idea what you're talking about. They are not comparable. They're just not even close to the same product. And that's okay. And if you like your Meta Quest and you're fine with the current functions and what it does, there's no shame in that. They're still very good products for the price, for sure. There's so much you can do on it. They're not even close in terms of hardware and software of being the same product. There's a reason why Apple doesn't say VR and AR, like you said earlier. Spatial computing, completely different things. Blends a lot of both of those two things together and does other stuff that these headsets just don't do right now. So that's it. I'll leave you guys at that.
I think that's a great summary.
But next week we'll be doing a dive into the other things that we didn't really get a chance to talk about that happened. So iOS 17, watchOS 10, macOS Sonoma. I've been using all of them on all of my devices, which is crazy, for the last 2 weeks. But we'll talk about that. And we'll catch everybody in the next episode.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.